Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. I'm your host, Becky Davidson, and I'm so glad that you are joining us for this week's episode. Now, before we get started with this week's guest, I want to make sure that all of the dads listening know about a special virtual event that we have planned for you coming up in November. So on Friday evening, November 20th from 7 until 9 p.m. Central, we here at Rising Above are hosting a free online event just for you called Extraordinary Legacy. And during this event, you will get to hear from some amazing dads who are raising children with special needs. And it's going to be a great opportunity to hear from other men who get it and understand what this life is like as we raise our children with special needs. And I know that you will walk away encouraged and inspired to be the men, to be the husbands and the dads that God has called you to be. So dads, I want to encourage you, set aside these 2 hours to invest in yourself and to invest in your family, because trust me, it's going to be worth it. And besides that, it's free. So to sign up, just go to our website, risingaboveministries.org, go to our events page, and you will find all the information you need to sign up, and then you will receive notifications about how to log in and what you'll need to know for that event. So make sure you go and do that, because it's a great way to invest in yourself and invest in your family. So in this week's episode, you are going to get to hear from former Congressman Greg Harper as he shares about his life with his adult son with special needs, Livingston. Livingston was diagnosed with Fragile X when he was a young child, and he shares about their life together, some of the adventures they've gotten to go on together, some of the things that they have done, and trust me, it is a fabulous story. Congressman Harper lives in Pearl, Mississippi with his wife of 40 years, Sydney, and along with their son Livingston. And he also has a daughter, Maggie, as well as a son-in-law, Brett, and a grandson, Lee, plus another grandchild on the way. And he and his family have done so much to advocate for individuals with special needs. And he shares about the work that he's been a part of in this episode with us. You know, I love nothing more than sharing stories about families, especially stories about dads who have embraced the special needs life. And you will be inspired, just like I was, by hearing the way the Harpers have given their son the opportunities to accomplish things that early on many people would have said he would not have been able to do. So I know you're going to love hearing this episode, just like I enjoyed having the conversation with Congressman Harper. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Rising Above podcast. I've got to tell you, I have done some research on you, and I have been enjoying getting to read some articles about you and your life and your family, and I cannot wait for us to dig in deeper in this conversation today. So thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's my honor to be with you today. And now, I don't know if what you read was good or bad, so you know, you got to be careful out there, you know.
Everything I read was beautiful and glowing, and so I know in politics you never know, but what I read was great.
With that statement that you made, I ask that you do no further research.
Okay, I'm done. No, it was wonderful, and I love hearing about other families who are out there doing such great good, and I cannot wait for our listeners to hear your story and all of the amazing things that you have done and you are doing. So to start off, just share a little bit about your family and about your son with special needs.
Well, thank you, and I'm certainly blessed with a magnificent family that is growing as we speak. Mm. It's in February, we're expecting our second grandchild.
Wow.
It's as good as advertised. But Sydney and I were married and almost 10 years. And really, I tell folks that we said we didn't want children. We wanted grandchildren. And we finally figured out we got to go.
The first goes to make the latter happen. Right.
So we had Livingston. And, you know, he always reached those milestones at the very last moment of what was normal.
Right.
And so he was late on some of the development, but still within that normal range. And we just didn't think, a whole lot about it. But at some point, our pediatrician said, I think there's something wrong. I don't know what it is, but we need to kind of check, deeper. And of course, at that point, we were 4 months pregnant with Maggie.
Wow.
And so it was one of those uncertainties and not knowing. And so we went through a big, battery of tests and everything and came up with what were indeed incorrect diagnoses, which is pretty typical.
Right.
There's Livingston has Fragile X syndrome. And so he was misdiagnosed with mild cerebral palsy and a near miss on autism. And so that's what we had. And just to show you how God really directs our paths,
mm-hmm.
people and places and events in your life that you just, maybe later you understand, but
yes.
Our next door neighbor happened to be the head of all of the special education programs for our county school system.
Wow.
and was kind of like an adoptive aunt for Livingston and Maggie. And so when Livingston was almost four, she had gone to an education conference, and one of the breakout sessions was on educating children with Fragile X syndrome. She just happened to go to that one. And then she watched the video and heard the mom that was speaking, and came home and said it, and handed us some material. Said, "I think this may be it." And so that led us to go and get further testing specifically for Fragile X syndrome, and indeed that's what he had. And so we've been dealing with that, knowing there was something that was there, but dealing with Fragile X syndrome now. Livingston's 31.
I was getting ready to ask how old he is. So 31, wow.
Yeah, he's 31. And so we've been dealing with so much of this, with that diagnosis now for almost 27 years.
Yeah.
And so, but he's such a blessing. And my wife was great with him, because the literature was so depressing on the things that you were facing that we just threw it away. And so we've made Livingston live in that normal world, and she's, I'll give her lots of credit. She's pushed him to do things that they said he'll never do.
Never do.
No, he's never going to jump off a diving board. So we'll see about that.
Well, yeah.
So all of those things, he does well. And so Livingston, had the best in-house therapist you could ever have. And that was his younger sister, Maggie. And Maggie showed him no mercy and expected him to do right and pushed him and had, and when you have, and you know this, when you have siblings, Becky, that are normal, whatever normal is,
right,
and they're dealing with a brother or sister that has special needs, they either resent it or they embrace it.
Right.
And Maggie has embraced it and has married a young man a few years back that is one that's just made it clear, hey, when you guys are gone, we're going to take care of Livingston. So it's such a relief, because that's a big concern.
Absolutely.
That so many of our families have. But Livingston's had some incredible opportunities. He's done some wonderful things. He's got a great he can sing really well.
Wow.
He loves music, and great memory. And just to show you how, I think one thing I would say to our parents is, for us, Livingston does so much better when he's not with us. we put a ceiling on him, and so it was college day at his high school, and he came home one day with a bag, and he said, "This is where I'm going to college."
Wow.
And we had never even thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing about Livingston, or probably anybody that has Fragile X syndrome, is they're not going to give it up. you know, you might as well deal with it because it's not going away.
Well, I was going to ask you, how does Fragile X present? Like some of our listeners may not even know what Fragile X, what it is. How does it present in Livingston?
Yeah, great question. It's an X chromosome abnormality that results in overall developmental delay. So he was late to walk, late to talk, those things. And, you know, it's some speech and language delay, fine motor skill problems, a lot of self-stimulatory behavior, and you know, hand flapping, right, that type thing. He may kind of move. He's going to move around a lot, and so those are some things that you see. And so concentration is always an issue. But he, you know, in another example of how God directs our paths is when he said he wanted to go to the local community college, mm-hmm, as the material he brought home. Well, the lady that was head of the government history political science department there had been a student teacher for me when I was in high school.
Wow.
So I called her. She said, sure, he can take one of my classes and he can take one other. I know somebody he'll do well in. And so he did that for a couple of years, mm-hmm, taking two classes a semester and did really well. And then we're so thankful that Mississippi State University started a program called the Access Program, mm-hmm, for students with intellectual disabilities. And Livingston was one of the first two students to graduate from that program.
Wonderful.
They started with one student, and Livingston came later, and they now have like 25 students in that program each semester.
Amazing.
So he's worked while he was, before he went to Mississippi State, he worked at a local restaurant for 4 years. He's been working at a different local restaurant now for over 5 years, and he loves it, and he's happy. Have we done all the right things? You know,
we do the best we can do with what we have at the time, don't we?
Well, here's the thing, Becky. We'd love for him. This is a part-time job. He works, mm-hmm, Monday through Friday. We'd love for him to have a full-time job with benefits. But guess what? He's happy.
He's happy.
You don't mess with happy.
No.
He's living the life, and we're so thankful for what he's being able to do.
That is so great. Well, my son, I have a son who just turned 23. And wow. So when our sons were younger, there was very limited internet access. I know that's hard for people to realize. And so, you know, when our sons were diagnosed, we found out they had special needs. We couldn't go to Dr. Google and start researching what this looked like. So did you find that a challenge? I think that's so hard for young parents now to even realize. Was that a challenge for you as you're dealing with, you know, what's available and what's out there and what you need to do? Or did that actually kind of help you not having all of that information right at your fingertips?
You're right. And with Livingston at 31 and dealing with this for 27 years now, the resources were not the same. But guess what? We read a lot, mm-hmm, you know, so he'd sit in our laps and we would read. We'd get him to try to read, you know, so we were doing it the old fashioned way in a lot of ways. And of course, we looked at some software packages that would help. You know, we would get the disc, the Mercer Mayer books,
yes,
you know,
yes,
and it would read along on the computer. Mm-hmm. And so we do things, you know, like that. And then, of course, since he had the incorrect diagnosis when he was about two, mm-hmm, he was getting occupational therapy and you know, speech therapy and all those things on a weekly basis, a couple times a week. And so we were doing the early intervention, which was important on it. Mm-hmm. But having those things where they can enjoy and learn, I mean, the resources now are just off the charts. So what's available? Yes. But at the end of the day, most of these of our precious children that have these special needs are very social creatures.
Yes.
And one of the biggest things for us and one of the great blessings we have, besides having a family that loves each other, we have a great church, mm, and great friends and neighbors. And so Livingston, even at 31, his buddies that he grew up with in the church that he's been in his whole life, they still call him. About once a week, one of them's going to call him and come pick him up. And they're going to go get something to eat or go to the bookstore or do something. And nice. So that continues, and he's very involved in our church. And so he, Livingston's, as Sydney says, Livingston's a G looking for an O. So always wanting
to go.
And so he's event driven. And so we've been to, you know, lots of concerts and things like that. And one of the great things of being in Congress those 10 years is he got to go to some special things.
Can only imagine.
So he's gotten to go to music events from the Library of Congress, the Gershwin Awards, for instance, and meet, you know, Willie Nelson, Garth Brooks, and, you know, Billy Joel, folks like that.
Right.
And so he and I are both groupies, so that was pretty cool stuff.
So you got to put lots of good father-son bonding time. So, you know, as you well know, when a family receives a diagnosis, each family member responds differently. And a lot of times dads kind of struggle with realizing, you know, that having that death of dreams of what they thought their life was going to look like when they had a son. I know that was the case for my late husband when our son was born. You know, he was a big UT fan, a University of Tennessee fan. I know you're Mississippi, but, you know, my husband was go Vols. But, you know, so knowing that he was not going to get to do some of those things with our son was so hard for him. Did you experience any of those same feelings, and how did it affect you early on as a dad, as a young dad, and your first child?
I think you're right on the observations there of it's different for moms and dads, I think. So moms just expect it to be the rock and be the one that gets the things done, and that's typical. And what we saw among some of the other families who were struggling with Fragile X is there were some divorces in that group of people that were there. But it was, you know, Sydney and I started dating when she was 15 and I was 17, and we just celebrated 41 years this past August. And
congratulations.
So, she's not going to get rid of me. And so, look, we worked together, and let me just say this. Yeah, it's different. We had other plans where they, okay, as they're born and you're thinking about raising a family, where are they going to go to this school? They're going to do this and do those things. And that's just not going to happen sometimes. But guess what? It's just a different journey. Absolutely. It doesn't mean it's not a great journey. And we learn a lot of things. You know, for me, I love my Maggie, my daughter, who's now 28 and has a 2-year-old and going to have another baby in February. She's a godly young lady that's never caused us a single day of trouble. And I love her. But I can't really describe the love that I have for Livingston. And I think it maybe gives us a glimpse of how much our Heavenly Father is
beautiful,
us, you know?
Yes.
And for us as a promise, we would claim John, the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 3.
Yeah.
Where, you know, that's Jesus with the disciples that come across a man who was born blind.
Absolutely.
They ask, why was he born blind? Verse 3. They ask him, was it because his parents had sinned or he had sinned? In verse 3 says, neither. It's so that in him the power of God might be demonstrated in his life. There's no way to describe how many people Livingston has touched in a positive way. And if you want to know how to worship God, you come to our church during the praise and worship time at our church, and this young man knows how to worship. I mean, you just can't help but have your heart warmed when you watch Livingston when he's singing and praising God in the in a church service. It warms you.
It's a beautiful thing. That was my husband's. That was his go-to verse as well. And
really?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, you just cling onto that our children, even though they're not what the world would call perfect, or, you know, sometimes I think they look at our children and they cannot see the value in their life, but God looks at our kids and Jesus looks at our kids as, you know, so beautifully and wonderfully made. And I feel like it is an honor. I told my son yesterday, I was like, buddy, I am so honored to get to be your mom. And I can tell that you feel the same way about your son.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, when I left him this morning, you know, there's a lot of, you know, sensory integration issues.
Yes.
And he doesn't really like to hug and touch. Mm-hmm. So I've had to train him to hug. So he knows he's coming. I said, okay, give me a two-handed hug. And so we get one up. Don't let go yet. You know, don't let go yet.
Love it.
He's going to break away, you know. But it's really just the love that he has, you know, is just remarkable. And he's really, really special. And I think he touches a lot of folks for the kingdom that otherwise might not see that. So he has incredible value and just, you know, it's fun to watch him, interact. And he's a real blessing to not just us, but to so many people.
Well, now I know you talked about early on, you know, just the what you read about things about Fragile X, that the news wasn't so promising. And so what were some of the things that the doctors told you, that his life was going to look like? Because you've already told us it totally did not look like that. But what were some of the things that they told you that how did they describe what his life would look like?
Sure. Well, first of all, our pediatrician is a almost lifelong friend and just a godly man. And he was always very encouraging. He never told us what he couldn't do. But as we went through different therapies in different states that we took him to for evaluations, it wasn't that they said it, but you could tell they sort of hinted towards institutionalization, put him in a group home somewhere, that type thing, which was never going to happen.
Right.
But I understand that it's different for different folks. But that was something that, you know, just simple things, you know, and one of the things that, and I remember, Sydney, my wife, crying numerous times, particularly when she asked a specialist, would he ever marry? And she said, probably not. And really, really cried on that. Now, I will say on that front, we still pray for a wife that can cook and drive.
There you go.
And Livingston, you know, he has no appreciation really for the value of money. And so there was a time last year that he had his billfold was about that thick. I mean, it was, you couldn't put anything else in it. It was full of $1 bills. And Sydney said, well, let me take some of these and give you some 20s. And he got really upset. He said, no, I'm saving that money for an engagement ring.
Oh, my goodness. Love it.
And because for him, more bills meant
more. Exactly. The bigger the stack, the more money you've got.
So that was him. But those are the type of things that, okay, if you wish something could be different, that would be something. He doesn't want to be by himself.
Right.
He does some moments of each day. He obviously likes his quiet time, but that's all of us in that regard.
Absolutely. Yeah. So he has excelled in, especially in the college scene. I've read about his college experience, and I would love for you to share a little bit about that, because a lot of parents would look and go, okay, my child would never get to experience that, but there was an amazing program that he got to be a part of. So I'd love for you to share just a little bit about that.
Sure. And thank you, Becky. And look, there are so many post-secondary education opportunities. Mm-hmm. And the thing I would say to the viewers is don't count that out, because these programs are great. And so for him, it was to be a part of something and to belong. And we were blessed with a friend of his who offered to be his roommate. And so, you know, with the time that he was up there for 2.5 of those years, he was with this same, you know, person. So we never worried about a thing.
Wow. God was providing for you, like,
all along.
You can see it all along.
But he went to, you know, every sporting event known to man or woman. Mm. He was going to those things. So he was very active going to enjoy those. You know, so he went to ladies softball, you know, tennis, He would go to basketball, men and women, and did all of those things that he enjoyed. And we think he went to classes. You know, we're assuming
he was having a good time.
And it was really good. And really the only thing that we see that is something that needs to be improved on for post-secondary education opportunities is, okay, when they get out, what do you do? Exactly. See, that's the problem.
Right.
Is you come back home. Ideally, if you had a setting for those graduates mm-hmm. where they could live in separate wings, you know, that's the type setting that would be good. They get to work, they can go still stay near the campus. Mm-hmm. Those are things we're still continuing to talk
about.
Is that something that could happen for the future? Because, you know, a college town, there's always something going on.
Absolutely.
That's an important part of it as well.
Love it. Well, now you served in Congress for many years.
Ten
years.
White
ten
dog years. Years. Yeah.
ten long years. And I know that while you were there, you know, I read about all the work you did advocating for families and about the internship program. And I would love for you to share about that and what sure. what an amazing legacy for your time there in Congress.
Well, and at the risk of repeating myself again to show how God does direct mm-hmm. our paths, mm-hmm. I wound up as a freshman on the Committee on House Administration, which had oversight over the intern program, which is the regular college students, you know, from all over the country that come in for a semester or a summer to work in a House or Senate or committee office. But there was nothing there for students with intellectual disabilities. And so we started one. And I went to, you know, I talked to our folks. And so we started one in 2010. We began with just a handful of those students from the program at George Mason University called Mason Life, which was close enough for them to commute in and work. And so, you know, what we did initially was we would make the student they thought was good, we'd make them come in for an interview. Most of them had never worked outside of home, never interviewed for anything, and they were scared to death. Of course, you already knew they were going to get the job.
Right,
But they, you know, it's important that they go through that. And so they start out really nervous. But at the end of the semester, they're part of the family and part of the team, and they're just their confidence level and the things they're doing are great. And it's not just that it's good for them, but many offices have never been around anybody with special needs, you know, a staff, right. something like that. My office, everybody knew Livingston, so that was not an issue for us, so that helped. But those young staffers that are interacting with these students with special needs, 20 years from now, they're going to own their own business and be hiring people. And we want them to look at those that have those special needs to come in and work because they can do meaningful work.
Absolutely.
And so we started in 2010 as a pilot program. It was successful. We've now had over 250 House and Senate offices
wow.
that have participated. Really, there aren't really enough students to meet the demand each semester, so there's a rotation there. So the next thing that really would be ideal to happen is to be able to have some type of intern, like almost like the Page dormitory mm-hmm. Senate has, where students from other post-secondary education programs, like Mississippi State, could come in and live there and work on Capitol Hill for a semester and then go back to their campus later. So that's something that's left to be done. But to see that program grow, to see the students the way that they just loved it. Some of them have done it all 4 years that they were in college.
Wow.
And they know the Capitol better than most members of the Capitol because they've been doing this so long. So it's been a real blessing to see what they've accomplished, and I look forward to many more years of this great program.
Well, and you were sharing with me that when you left, they changed the name of this internship. And so what's the new name? I love this. Share a little bit about that.
It was, they had a reception at the end of the semester, my last time there in 2018, and this was in probably in early December. And it was to honor me for starting the program, but it was the Rayburn Room off the House floor was packed with staffers and members of the House and Senate, and also all the students from that semester at Mason Life. And they I'm so thankful I brought Livingston with me for that week. And he was there for this ceremony. And so they called him up and then called me up to stand next to him and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we want you to know that from this day forward, this program will forever be called, evermore be called the Greg and Livingston Harper Congressional Intern Program for Students with Intellectual Disabilities." And I just, we were blown away, and just, I was so thankful that Livingston was there with me. And so now when people talk about it, they, and of course everybody in the House knew Livingston because he'd been coming up there with me for 10 years. So it's, but it's, it, this program never happens, but for our experiences with dealing with Livingston.
Yeah. And it's, so amazing. It's amazing to see the impact. I was going to say the impact that our children, you know, my son, I said, is 23 and nonverbal, has never said a word in his life, but has impacted countless people just for being here, you know. And I think that that kind of ties into a quote that I read for you. So often people can't see the value that our children bring to this world. But you, I read a quote, something that, this is a good one. So from an article, but you said, "I think you can always judge somebody's character by how they treat someone with special needs." And I've seen that over and over and over again. I can judge someone right away, and I can tell what kind of character they're going to have by how they treat my son.
And absolutely.
So share a little bit about that and how you've seen that played out in your role as a congressman and your work that you're doing now, because I believe that in that as well.
Well, we've seen it, you know, every day that some people, and it may not be that they're bad people. It's just they're so uncomfortable.
Exactly. You know?
And so that's part of it. But when you, as a parent, you know, like you and I are, when someone is kind to your son, or it's worth more than anything else that you could receive.
Absolutely.
And it shows their heart and their tenderness and kindness that you have. And, you know, if I see somebody who's rude to somebody who has special needs, I know that's somebody that I really don't want to hang out with or do business with. So it is a character indicator to me. And another thing too, is while we've always been, you know, I believe kind to other people during our lives, but once we had Livingston, we're much more sensitive to that, to try to reach out to others that we see that have those needs and worries, and to know that it really is going to be okay.
Well, and that kind of leads into my last question for you. You know, you've been on this journey as a special needs dad and an advocate, and for many years. And I call myself, I'm a seasoned parent now, you know, now that I have a child who's an adult. But we have lots of parents who are listening who have younger children who maybe have just gotten a diagnosis and they're reeling with that news. So what would be something you would say to them to encourage them as they're just now dealing with this diagnosis?
Well, it's a very natural feeling and process to go through that. That denial and realizing that your path that you're on is going to be different. But guess what? That child with special needs has the same dreams, desires, and needs as any so-called normal child. And do not put a limit on what your child can do. Don't get in the way. You know, realize that they can always do better than what they're doing. But, you know, we want it, you know, we're in a hurry, so we're going to tie your shoes. Or we're in a hurry, we're going to fix your hair because you're not fixing it right.
Guilty. Well,
So what if their hair is not perfect? You know, if they did it, it's probably okay.
Right.
And so just, you know, do that, do those things. And I remember I had a friend that ran a Christian youth camp, and Livingston was in high school. And he said, let Livingston come up here and work with us for a week. We'll put him to work, pay him. And so I took him up there, and this was the first time he'd ever really been away from us, like mm-hmm. other than family.
Right.
We're leaving him here in a youth camp. And so I'm sitting there and said, Jim, remember, he's got this medicine here. He needs to do this. If there's a problem here, and I'm going through all this. And he just puts his hands on my shoulders. He said, Greg, get in the car and go home. Mm-hmm. We'll see you in a week. Just relax. You know, you're worrying too much. And so I would say that they're going to be okay. You just love them, provide for them, and just watch how God's going to bless you in your life.
I love that. And I love hearing you share how weaving in how God has just led your path, directed you. And I think for so many parents, when we first find out what's going on, our heads are reeling. We can't process. But if we can, I think early on for parents to understand, you know, allow God to lead you mm-hmm. and your journey will go so much smoother. Things may not look the way you think they're going to look, but it's amazing how down the path God can be setting things up that we can't even see now.
Yes, absolutely. And so just don't ever give up.
Yeah.
You know, and realize that it's going to be okay. And you're going, you know, you just need to pray that you can accept that God's really going to use that child in a very unique way that will touch other people and lead other people to Christ.
Absolutely.
You give them that opportunity. And then let your child do those things that they want to try to do.
Yeah.
And stop worrying about what they can't do and focus on the strengths of the things that they can do.
That's beautiful. Well, as we close, I just want to ask you, if you were to look at your life with Livingston, what's one thing that he's taught you that you would have never known if he were not your son and part of your life?
You know, and I don't know if maybe it's something that he reinforced and said, oh, you know, maybe an oh, yeah, moment. Mm-hmm. It should be that way. Is that here's... When I watched Livingston, when I'd go up to school, you know, even have lunch with him when he was younger, whatever, Livingston treated the janitor at the school the mm-hmm. same way he treated the principal. And if the Lord is no respecter of persons, then wow. I mean, I saw the attitude of Christ lived out of my son, who treated everybody with respect and kindness. And it's a lesson that reaffirmed what we knew.
Wow.
But I saw it how he treated people.
And don't we need that today in this world?
Absolutely.
Today, more so than ever, to just treat
yes.
each other equally and with kindness. Wow. Well, I cannot thank you enough for you giving up your time to have this conversation. I've enjoyed getting to know more about you and your journey with your son. And I cannot wait for our listeners to get to hear your story. So thank you so much for this time. So I appreciate
Hey, thanks
it.
For letting us join you. And if there's anything we can do in the future or follow up later on, we're happy to do that. And thank you for what you're doing in the ministry.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We would like to thank Jimmy Thorpe and Patrick Mayberry for providing the music for our podcast today. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.